If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to 2 Corinthians. I would like to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Just one verse of Scripture that I primarily would like to read to begin with. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll be looking primarily today at verse 11. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God, the privilege to be able to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Lord, we thank You for the privilege that we have to come together this morning to worship Thee. Pray that You would help all of us, that we might lift up our voices in singing of songs, that we might join our hearts together and our minds, that we might center our affections wholly and completely upon Thee and Thy holy word. We pray that as we begin to study Thy word now, that Thy Spirit would be our teacher, that we would hear and understand, believe, and obey Thy holy word. We do beg Thy blessings upon those who have lost loved ones. Pray that You would comfort their hearts, bless those that are seriously ill. We know that You're able to touch and heal and lift up, and we pray that You would bless all those that stand in great need of Thy help this day, and bless their families, comfort and bless them. Help all of those that have special burdens and problems. Bless those with unspoken prayer requests. Bless all of those on the prayer list. And bless every family here and every individual here, that we would be able to feel that it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Teach us and instruct us from Thy holy word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read now from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. The Word of God says, Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. There are four things that God inspired the Apostle Paul to write here. There are four commands, there are four declarations, there are four statements that God gives. He says, first of all, He says, be perfect. Now, I think all of us know that we can never be as perfect, we can never be absolutely perfect in this world. And yet the Word of God teaches that there is a perfection that we can reach while we live here in this world. The Word of God says, there was in the land of Uz a man whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright. Now, Job was not absolutely perfect in every way, but he, as far as men was concerned, he was as perfect as a man could get. The Word of God talks about others, that they were perfect. And now Paul says here, be perfect. We ought to be striving for perfection in our lives. Be perfect. And then he says, be of good comfort. And I think all of us know and understand that it's the Holy Spirit that comforts God's people. And we're to comfort one another with the same comfort whereby we are comforted. We're to comfort one another. So he says, be of good comfort. And then he says, be of one mind. And the only way that God's people, the only way that a church and a family can ever be of one mind is if they have the mind of Christ. If they're following the Word of God and the ways of God, a church will be of one mind and one accord when we're in the Spirit and following God and His holy Word. So it says, be of one mind. And then the... I need some water. Water, please. And then the last statement he makes is, the last command he gives is, live in peace. Live in peace. And the Word of God tells us repeatedly, as much as is possible, we're to live peaceably with all men. Live in peace. We're to try to live in peace. Now, we will never be at total peace. In fact, if we're at peace with the world, if we're not at odds with the world, then we're doing contrary to what God's Word says. But the main thing that's on my heart is not to dwell on the four commands that we have here, but I want us to think about the last statement in verse 11 when he says, if we do those four things, if we do what God is telling us to do, he says, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. I want us to think about God being with us. I know that we all understand that one day when this world is over, we're going home to be with God. We're going to the eternal heaven when this world is over. But right now, the Word of God, in fact, many places, in most places, that it talks about us being with God, the Word of God does not concentrate on us one day going to be with God. It does talk about that quite a bit, but the Word of God concentrates on God coming down and being with us, God dwelling with us while we live here in this world. And so it is that he says here that if you do these four things, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. He says, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. If you want to feel God's presence with you, then you have to do what God's Word says to do. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Now, the main thought that's in that I want us to look at this morning is that the God of love and peace, but the main thing is that God is the God of love. That's the main thought that's on my heart this morning. God is the God of love. And I know that sometimes people say, now, I believe in a loving God. I don't believe in a God that is severe in judgments and things like that. There are many Christians today. There are many so-called Christians that they don't know the God of the Bible. They don't know and understand that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That the same God that was true in the Old Testament, that same God is the same God that rules and reigns today. And they don't understand sometimes that God, because of His love for His people, that God sometimes renders severe chastening in their lives. The Word of God says that whom the Lord loveth, He what? He chasteneth. Chastening and love are not on opposite ends of the spectrum. It's because of love that God chastens. Jesus says in Revelation 3:19, He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Chastening and judgments in this world for God's people, it's moved and motivated by the love of God. God is the God of love. He's not sometimes the God of love and other times a God of judgment. God is the God of love. He is love. Not just the God of love, but He is love. God is love. And so when God does things in our lives that sometimes we don't understand, we still always need to remember that He is the God of love. And that He never stops loving us. God loves us just as much. His love for us never changes. God's love is a perfect love. My love fluctuates. Your love fluctuates. But God's love remains constant always. And God loves you just as much today as the day that He gave His only begotten Son for you on the cross of Calvary. God always loves you the same. But God does not manifest His love toward you when you're walking contrary to His Word. But He is still, even when He is not manifesting His love, He is still the God of love. The God of love will be with you if you do the four things and many other things that are mentioned in the Word of God. The main thing I want us to think about this morning is that God is love. He is the God of love. And I've heard some people say, God could not love me. I've heard people say that about themselves, that God could not love me. And I want you to see, as we go through the Word of God this morning, I want you to see that there are some people that certainly you would think and I would think, and sometimes we sit back in judgment and we say, that could not be a child of God. But I want you to see and know that the amazing grace of God is that God would love any of us. There are not some people who deserve the love of God and some people who don't deserve the love of God. The fact and reality is there's not a person in this building, there's not a person on this earth that has ever lived that deserves the love of God. It's amazing grace is the only reason that God manifests His love toward us and the reason that God loves us. I want the God of love and peace to dwell with me and to dwell with you. And in order for the God of love and peace to dwell with you, there are things that you have to do. Now, go with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. Just before Jude and Revelation, there are three little books, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And I want us to look at 1 John chapter 4 as we think about the love of God and the God of love. And that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:11. He says, the God of love will be with you. Do you have to be in church for the God of love to be with you? Those of you that are here from the nursing home, there are 3, 6, 9, 12, there are about 15 from the nursing home here today. And I want to ask you this question. Do you ever feel the God of love out there at the nursing home? Do you feel the God of love with you there in the nursing home? Certainly you feel the God of love there. You see, God is not limited to a church building or to some particular place. He's not limited to a nation. Did you know God has a people in every nation and kindred and tongue and family and tribe? And there are people in other nations today that do not know God as wonderfully as He has blessed us to know Him. There are people that do not have the Word of God, they don't have the Bible, and yet they, because the Spirit of God guides them and directs them and warns them, they try to serve God. They've been born of the Spirit of God, and yet they don't know God like you might know God today as a result of a greater knowledge of the Word of God. Look at 1 John now. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in, well, just start with verse 7. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. You know the only reason that I love you and the only reason that you love me? The only reason that we love each other is because God has put that love in our hearts. Did you know that? And the only reason that you keep on loving people, in spite of the fact that we get on each other's nerves and we do things that might upset one another, the reason you can forgive and love anyway is because God is in you. The love of God, the God of love, is in you. When you're born of the Spirit of God, God takes up His dwelling in your heart and in your soul. And He is the God of love. And the God of love is in you. And that's the only reason love is in you, is because God is in you. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. That's in verse 7. Everyone that loveth is born of God. Now, do you love in order to get born of God, or do you love because you've been born of God? Which one is true? It's because we've been born of God. You don't love in order to get born again. You cannot get born again by doing anything. You cannot love God unless God first loves you. In fact, that's declared in verse 19. Come down to 1 John 4, verse 19. It says, we love Him because He first loved us. God has loved us from before the foundation of the world. God loves us with an everlasting love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. God loved you first, and God put love in your heart, and everyone that loves is born of God. Doesn't matter whether you talk about loving God or loving His people or loving the truth of God's Word or loving His church. If you have love in your heart, you fill in the blank. If you have love in your heart, you have blank in your heart. God. Why? Because He is love. God is love. Now look at verse 8, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. God is love. I'm going to ask you again now, does that mean that when He's chastening you that He doesn't love you? My daddy used to say, and I never believed it, I don't think, but my daddy used to say, I'm whipping you because I love you. Now, I never felt love when he was whipping me. I never felt it one bit. Never felt love. I felt like there was just hurt and harm there. And psychiatrists may tell you that you are not manifesting love when you spank your children. But I'm telling you, the Word of God declares that if you don't spank your children, you don't love your children. A man that loveth his child chasteneth him. Love and discipline are inseparable. And people that teach that false God who does not chasten and who does not bring things in our lives that are unpleasant, they don't know and understand the true love that's taught in God's Word. God is love. Now come down to verse 10. Look at verse 10. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Where did it all start? Did it start with you loving God, or did it start with God loving you? It started with God loving you. And the only reason that you love back, the only reason you love God, is because God has put love in your heart. Come down to verse 11. Verse 11 says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, I'm concentrating this morning, or trying to concentrate, on God is love, and He is the God of love, and He comes and dwells with His people. When they are loving Him, He comes and dwells with them. The God of love and peace will dwell with you when you're doing what He tells you to do. When you're loving Him, He will manifest His love to you. Now, He loves you even when you don't show love for Him. His love is there. His love is constant. But He does not manifest His love toward you, usually, unless you are manifesting love towards Him. And He says here now, if God, verse 11, Beloved, if God so loved us, how much did He love you? How much did God the Father love you? How much does God the Father love you? But how do you know about the love of God? For God so loved the world that He what? That He gave His only begotten Son. Listen, brethren, God loved us so much He gave His only begotten Son. Now, I cannot comprehend the love of God. I love all of you. But everybody except my family, I'm sorry, I could not give my son's life for all of you. Does everybody understand? Now, I could give my life for you. I would be glad to die. I think I would be willing to die for anybody in this building. But do you understand the difference in God? Not just Jesus gave Himself. God the Father gave His only begotten Son. Brother Richard, you love me? Would you give Walker's life for me? No, that's right. That's just being truthful. That's just being honest. God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son for us. Can you comprehend the magnitude of the love of God? Can you begin to comprehend? I don't believe there's any way that in this world we can comprehend the love of God. And if God so loved us, if He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, we ought to love one another. That's what He declares here. And He says, we know. If you back up to 1 John 3 and verse 14, 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have what? We know that we have passed from death unto life because, not in order, We know that we passed from death into life because we love the brethren. How do I know? And this has been one of the greatest blessings to many of God's children who have come to me and said, how can I know whether or not I've been born again? And I will take them to 1 John 3:14, which says, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. Do you love the brethren? Do you love the brethren? If you love the brethren, what do you know? You know that you've passed from death into life. You know you've been born again, because if you love the brethren, where did that love come from? It came from the God of love. God that dwells in you. Isn't that amazing that God can dwell in you? God of love, the God of love, dwells in us. And that's the reason that we love one another. And we need to manifest that love one to another. Come down to verse 16. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16 says, and we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. Do you know the love of God? To know means to intimately understand and feel. Do you intimately understand and feel the love that God has toward you? All right. So many times in the lives of God's people, so many times we don't know how much God loves us. And we need to pray that God will help us to know and to understand the magnitude that God has of His love toward us. I believe there are many of God's children today. I know many children of God. Well, I don't know many, but I know some children of God who do not believe that God loves them. They do not believe that God loves them because they believe and they know that they have done something wrong in their lives, and they feel unloved by God, and they feel unloved by people. They feel that they are unlovable. They feel that they cannot be loved by God. They feel that they could not ever have God loving them because they're such wretched sinners. Let me tell you something, brethren. Were the apostles good men or bad men? Which one were they? They were both. Thank you. Somebody said both. All right. They were both. They were good men in a way, and then in another way, they were bad men. Now, I know the Bible says there's none good, no, not one, but the Bible also talks about good men. And the Word of God says here in, back up in your Bibles just a moment. I want you to back up to John chapter 13. Look at John chapter 13. Same one that was writing all these words in 1 John chapter 4. I want you to go to John chapter 13 because I want you to know, and I want you to be able to tell people who think that God does not love them, people that are burdened. Listen carefully. The only people that care, the only people that want God to love them are people that are born of the Spirit of God. A dead alien sinner doesn't care about God, doesn't know God, doesn't believe in God, doesn't fear God. In John chapter 13, verse 1, the Word of God says, now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own. Who are the, specifically in its context, who do you think His own are here? He had loved His own. Who are they? Okay, specifically it's His apostles and His disciples. In its context here, having loved His own which were in the world, well, look at the last phrase, He loved them unto the end. Now, do you know some people that were in those 12 apostles? Do you know any, quote, do you know any people among those 12 apostles that did things that were unloving toward Jesus? I'm talking about shortly after He washed their feet here in John chapter 13. Do you know of any of these that He says He loved them, and He loved them unto the end, and He knew what they were going to do to Him because He told them what they were going to do to Him? Do you know of any of those 12 that you would conclude they did not love God and God did not love them? Name any of those 12 that you would conclude and you would think God does not love them. God cannot love them. Okay? Turn to Matthew chapter 20. Don't turn. Just listen. The Scripture says that they all of these that he says now, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. The Scripture says that they all of these that are mentioned right here, they all forsook him and fled. They left Jesus. Now, you know what I'll do if you ever abandon me and turn your back on me? Brother John, what do you think I'll do? I'll stop loving you. Now, that's just the way it is. Now, you might say, well, I can love them no matter what. Maybe you can. I have trouble loving people that become my enemies. Now, I know the Bible says we're to love our enemies, but I'm just saying that it's very difficult sometimes to love your enemies. Do any of you have that problem of loving people that don't love you? It's easy for me to love people that love me, but you turn your back on me and you become my enemy, and it'll be hard for me to love you. But we're talking right now not about our love for each other. We're talking about the love of God. And he says to these men who were about to all leave him and forsake him, he loved his own and he loved them unto the end. Do you hear that little expression there? That he loved them unto the end. He never stopped loving them. In spite of the fact, what did Judas do? What did Judas do? He betrayed him. He sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. Now that scoundrel deserved eternal hell, didn't he? And what about Peter? Some people want to pick on Judas, but they don't want to mention Peter. But what did Peter do? He denied him and did something that some people say will send you to eternal hell. He cursed! He cursed and denied him. I don't know him. And he did it three times. Boom, boom, boom. I know him not. He denied Jesus Christ. Now, did that scoundrel deserve eternal hell? Did Peter deserve eternal hell? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Did he? You see, I'm leading up to a point. I keep asking the question, did he deserve eternal hell? Yes, Judas deserved eternal hell. Did Peter deserve eternal hell? Yes, he deserved eternal hell. Did all 12 of these apostles deserve eternal hell? Yes, they all deserved eternal hell. And the only reason they did not experience eternal hell is because the love of God does not stop in spite of our unfaithfulness. If we are unfaithful, yet he cannot deny himself. Isn't that amazing? The love of God. God says this in Malachi chapter 3. He says, Because I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. What's the only thing that kept God from consuming them and obliterating them? What's the only thing that kept God from sending them to eternal hell? What was it? Yes, because his love doesn't change. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, God says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Brethren, that ought to make you so happy. Now, my wife may stop loving me. She may. I don't think she would. But I could do something that she'd already let me know. You do this and that's it. It's all over. The marriage is over. All of you understand? I already know. She hadn't put it in writing, but she let it be known very clear. You commit adultery, this marriage is over. You're gone. You're out the door. It's good to know the parameters, isn't it? It's good to know what the result will be. It has a sobering effect on you. That's right. That's right. It'll bring you to your senses. Sometimes when she's not as loving as I think she ought to be, I say, well, I'm going to find somebody else to love me. She'll say, go right ahead. Go right ahead. If you can find anybody that'll love you more than I do, you go ahead. Listen, brethren, as wonderful as my wife's love is, as wonderful as my mama's love is, and my sister's love, and my children's love, and my grandchildren's love, the love of God is greater far. Isn't that amazing? My mama loves me, and I think even if I committed adultery, I think she'd still love me. She might twitch her eye and look mad, But I'm telling you, what I'm trying to get across to you is God is love. Now, how does the devil twist and pervert that whenever I'm talking about, now my wife says you commit adultery, you're out of here, that's the end of the marriage. But that doesn't separate me from the love of God, does it? So what does the devil tell me then when I know that adultery will not separate me from the love of God? What does the devil tell me right then? Go ahead. We're all sinners. We all fall short. There's no such thing as big sins, little sins, which is a lie from the devil. And the devil will tell me God's going to love you anyway, and God will forgive you, and God is gracious. What you don't understand is God says that He will pour His judgment out on your life. You go back and you read about David when he committed adultery and the sword never departed from his house, and you read the rest of David's life, you read about the judgment after judgment after judgment that came in David's life. The judgment came from God who loved him, and it's because God loved him, God would not allow him to do that without him experiencing serious consequences. The God of love will spend the rest of your life bringing judgment in your life if you turn your back on Him. Let me just mention how are you gonna finish the sermon on the love of God? How are you gonna finish the sermon on the love of God? How can you preach? And this is one of the difficulties of trying to preach the Word of God, is God puts something on your heart. And did you know we haven't even scratched the surface on what I thought we would get to this morning? What I thought we would get to is not scratching the surface on the love of God. The love of God. I want us to sing in a minute. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. I can never tell you how great the love of God is. God commendeth His love. Listen in closing. I'm just going to give you one scripture in closing. God commendeth His love toward us. This is Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What was your condition when Christ died for you? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. May God help us to do the things that we must do in order to have the God of love and peace to dwell with us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.